So this morning, I mean, we've probably said it 100 times already, but obviously we're going to pray and fast this week. And just for those that weren't here last week, yes, come on. Thanks, Colin. Where's Steve? Fab Steve. Sitting at the heater, eh? Yes. yeah, if you weren't here last week, just quickly. So we felt as an eldership team to go into a season of prayer and fasting. We've had some prophetic words over the last few months that kind of confirmed it, which I'm going to release this morning. And last week, I really tried to kind of lay a foundation out of the Bible of why we pray and why we fast and what is the point of praying and fasting. And then this morning, what I want to do is just to kind of build on that and not hopefully, but release some prophetic words and almost lay a foundation for us as we begin our prayer and fasting time tomorrow. Really trusting that this morning God will stir faith and expectation in us for what He wants to do. Because He does want to do something. I've just been, like, we're not trying to twist His arm. We're not trying to say, please, Lord, come and earn what you do. He wants to. Like, He wants to meet with us. And this time is actually just realigning our hearts so that He can meet with us. We're not trying to twist His arm. But really just trusting that as we do this, and as we pray and as we fast together as a body belonging to one another, we're going to see God move. And I just want to say, I've been so encouraged just by the response of you guys. I really have. Like, prayer not necessarily to pray, but to fast is never easy. And quite a few people, even like last week, Sunday and this week, people are so amped for this. And it really is so encouraging for me. And it really just blew me away just by people's desire to do this. So it's such a joy to lead this congregation because it's amazing just to see people's response. So thank you so much. And the thing that makes me excited is people's desire to have more of God. Like that, because that's ultimately why we pray, why we fast, is to find His face and to have more of Him. And the desire that I see in our people to have that is phenomenal. So thank you. So as I release these words, not all the words might resonate with you, which is okay, but I'm hoping that at least one of them, God will just speak to you personally and just stir your heart with faith and expectation. So we're going to release the words, and just if there's something for you, just ask the Holy Spirit just to come in and do something. So I want to start with a portion out of Ezekiel, where God tells Ezekiel to prophesy over the valley of dry bones. Many of you would know this story, and this was a vision that God gave Ezekiel, and we're going to read from Ezekiel 37, verse 1 to 10. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then He said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise. And I can just see this in my mind's eye, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and the tendons and the flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then He said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come from the four winds of breath and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as He commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet. On their feet, a vast army. And I'm really trusting that as we release this word, that the Holy Spirit would start bringing life into dry bones in us this morning. That He would start to stir faith and expectation in us to see God make things alive in us. That is what He wants to do. He wants to make things alive in us. Things that's dead, things that's dry. And He wants to come by His Spirit in this time and really just bring life. So that we, at the end of the day, that we can be an army ready to advance God's kingdom, because we've called to advance His kingdom. Make sense? Okay. So, first prophetic word that I want to release. This was sent to me at the end of May. And this word was specifically sent to me, and it has to do with sexual purity. So, if you are struggling with sexual sin, I really want to encourage you to listen and just to be encouraged, because God wants to do something. But as I've been reflecting on this, I really feel this is for everyone as well. So we're going to read out of 2 Chronicles 20. And we're going to start with verse 1 to 4. So after this, the Moabites and Ammonites and every other knights came against Jehoshaphat for battle. He was king of Judah. Some men came and told him, "A great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea." Yeah, very far away. Then Jehoshaphat was afraid, and this is crucial, and set his face to seek the Lord. And that's what we want to do this week. We want to set our faces to seek the Lord and proclaim the fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord from all the cities of Judah that came to seek the Lord. So the first thing that I want to say is, as we pray and as we fast this week, let's set our faces to seek the Lord. This is what the fast is about. The fast is a means to the end, and the end is to seek God. It's not about it is about the fasting, but it's not about the fasting. It is really to seek God as we pray and as we fast. The motivation shouldn't be to see how long you can last, to make your personal best time in fasting. The point is to seek God, to set your face to seek the Lord like He did. And then in verses 5 to 11, we're not going to go there, but Jehoshaphat then reminds God about what He has done for them, which is amazing. And it wasn't for God's sake, it was for His own sake. And what He's done for them in the history, He proclaimed that God ruled over all the kingdoms of the nations. And then I want to pick up in verse 12. "O our God, will You not judge them, the army? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon You." And just again, feeling that this should be our attitude during this time, to acknowledge that we are powerless to bring victory and breakthrough, just as He knew that they don't have the power to face this army. But the thing that we can do is set our eyes upon God. We do not know what to do, but our eyes or upon You, and really just to set our eyes on God this week, and just acknowledge that we can't do it. We can't make God move, but we can set our eyes on Him, and really to trust God to fight on our behalf as we seek His face. And then I love this, in verse 14 and 15, we see God answers. And this is God's heart, and we even see this in that, which I'm going to get to later, but even in that scripture in Isaiah 58, which I said last week, like just God's desire to meet with us is amazing. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon some prophet, and he said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Isn't that beautiful? And then I just want to also read verse 17 before I say something. "You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." And I just want to say this morning, let's put our confidence in God that this battle we are going in is not ours, but it's God's. All we must do is stand firm and see the Lord's salvation on our behalf. It's not about how hard we try. God brings the victory. He brings the deliverance. And just full of faith that God will bring victory for us. I said last week, I'm really trusting as we pray and fast that God will bring freedom and breakthrough in areas individually. So individually in us, but also as a family that we haven't seen breakthrough in years. Because there's some stuff that we've been praying for and contending for Fort Weinberg for a long time, but we haven't seen breakthrough. And I'm really trusting that God will do it. That He will defeat the army like He did here. and that he will bring victory on our behalf. And I want to encourage you to go read that story. It's amazing how God does bring the victory for them. But that's the first word, that God brings the victory. He will fight on our behalf. All we have to do is seek his face and put our eyes on him. Okay. And then the second prophetic word was out of Nehemiah. And this was, the context of this was, they faced, so God told Nehemiah to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And they faced opposition when they started to rebuild the walls. And we're going to pick up from Nehemiah 4, verse 7 to 9. But when Sanballat, those guys, sorry guys, I'm not even going to try. But when those men heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed. Just remember that, the gaps were being closed. They were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. And the person that shared this with me felt that God is busy breaking things down that is not of God in us. Okay, like those walls. And that we should ask that God would rebuild eternal walls in our congregation. Things that's for him and his kingdom. And I'm really trusting that as we pray and as we fast, there are people here that's really trusting God to break stuff down in your life that's not of him. And for him then to replace that with his eternal walls. And I'm just trusting as we do that, as we pray and as we fast and as we seek his face, God will do that. But we see here that the enemies were very angry and they plotted to come and fight against them and cause confusion. And they were angry because the gaps were being closed in the walls. And I really, well, this person felt that the gaps that God is busy closing in us is increasing our unity and is bringing healing in us. And when the kingdom of God starts coming, the enemy doesn't like it. He becomes angry that God is busy, that we are allowing God to close gaps in us. So I do want to say, expect some resistance this week. Don't be disheartened, don't be discouraged. Expect some resistance. And it's not always going to be a full-on enemy attack that you know it's an enemy. It can be small things as well. So expect resistance. Because the enemy is going to try to bring confusion and discouragement. And it's not about, well, it is, but it isn't. It's important that you attend those prayer times, guys. So if you're feeling sick or if you're feeling very hungry or just push through, there is going to be resistance. Let's just acknowledge that and just be prepared for that. And trust that God, as we face opposition, that God's going to do something eternal in us. He's going to build eternal walls. Your kids might also be resistance anyway. So really, stand strong and trust God. He is our protection. If you... I don't have this here, but if you continue with that scripture, it says they prayed to God and they protected themselves. And really just trusting, if there's resistance, if you're feeling resistance, just pray, seek his face. Expect resistance, but God is our protection. He's going to, as I've said in the first word, he's going to fight this on our behalf. Good. And then the last prophetic word is out of Genesis 1. And in the creation story, we read that God separated the light from the darkness. In Genesis 1 verse 3, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And it says here, I didn't give you verse 4, it's my fault. Verse 4 says, God saw that the light was good and he separated the light from the darkness. And this person felt that God wants to separate light from darkness in us and he wants us to live in the light and leave behind the darkness. And I really have this, as I've been thinking about this, have this expectation that God will convict people of sin this week and that God will show us areas in us that is not in his light. And I want to encourage you, as we meet together to pray this week, if God's convicted you of something, share with someone. When you get together in the evenings, if there's conviction, share with someone. Bring it in, like repent before God, but bring it into the light with other people as well, because the Bible says we have true fellowship with one another if we walk in the light. But really just trusting that God will really just deep-seated things that's been in you that you've been hiding maybe, or that even if you're not aware of it, that God wants to separate light from darkness this week. And then in Genesis 2 verse 7, the Lord God formed a man and from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. And this person felt that as God separated light from darkness, that out of that place his life will flow. And that is the order that we see here. God first separated light from darkness, and then he created the man and he breathed his life into him. So as God separates light from darkness this week, he's going to also bring life, which is amazing. So really trusting that we'll see God's life flow in us as we pray and as we fast. And as I've said already, the amazing thing is it's already started to happen this week, which is amazing. Yeah, and I really just want to land with, so are those three words, is it encouraging? Okay. And I really just want to land with this again. Like, because I've had this question this week, and it's a good question. Why or for what are we praying and why are we fasting? And I just want to quickly just go through Isaiah 58, just quickly. So I did do it last week, but I just want to emphasize this again. So the context of this is the people asking God why he hasn't seen or blessed their fasting, because it was a routine thing to fast those days. And then God rebukes his people for fasting with the wrong motives and for the wrong reasons. So he tells them this is the type of fasting that he chooses. And we read from verse 6. Is this not the kind of fasting I've chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and to untie the cords of the yoke. To set to press free and break every yoke. That's why we're fasting. To see that happen in us. That God will do that in us. It's not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wander with shelter. Then you will see the naked to give him clothes and not turn away from your own flesh and blood, okay? And then, this is what we are trusting for. This is why we're seeking his face. This is why we're praying and fasting. That our light will break forth like the dawn. That your healing will quickly appear. That your righteousness will go before you. And that the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. And then this last portion is for me is exciting. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. We are praying and fasting to find God, to seek his face. You will cry for help and he will say, here I am. And really trusting that as we pray and as we fast, that we will find him. That we will cry out to him and we will find him. And that we will find his presence, because out of his presence, everything else comes. Healing comes, freedom comes, breakthrough comes. He sets you press free. But it's him. The answer is him. He is the means to the end.